Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua. We have been working our way through parts of Joshua and so many important lessons and truths that we can learn in this wonderful book in the Bible. You can find Joshua chapter 7. I was just thinking a little bit earlier tonight. We've heard even tonight some of several specific answers to prayer. And of course, this is a prayer meeting night, and that's something we ought to praise the Lord for. Is answered prayer, because we believe he hears and answers prayer. And that's why we're here tonight. And so we ought to be really praising the Lord when we, and mindful of that, when God answers prayer. We believe that and we say that, but when he does it, we need to notice that. And it's a good thing to, and a healthy thing for a Christian to thank him for that. Joshua chapter 7, we will be in tonight. The battle of Jericho in chapter 6 revealed Israel's power and potential in conquering the land. God was with them. No enemy could stand a chance against them so long as God was fighting with Israel. Jericho was a picture of victory for Israel. That was God's plan. But the scene changes quickly when Israel goes to battle against the city of Ai. We see defeat, discouragement, and death in Ai. The opposite of Jericho and the opposite of what God had planned for the people of Israel. Ai brings to light the reality of sin, man's sinfulness, and the damaging effect of sin. In Jericho and Joshua chapter 6, we see Jericho, and we see victory by faith. In Joshua chapter 7, we see the battle of Ai and defeat by sin. And this is really an important subject, the matter of sin. And tonight, I want us to really kind of summarize this chapter and look at what Ai teaches us about sin. And we don't have time to read the whole passage tonight just for the sake of time, but let's briefly look at the overview. Verses 1 through 5, we see this terrible defeat at Ai. 36 men were killed. Remember, God had promised there wouldn't be a, if they followed and obeyed him, nobody would die. God would help them to win all their battles. No person would be killed. And verse 5 ends with the hearts of the people melted when they heard and what they had seen. In verses 6 through 9, we see Joshua crying out to God and in a way kind of questioning God. How could you let this happen? How did this happen? What is the problem? And verses 10 through 12, God reveals to Joshua what has happened. Look at verse 11 or verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. There God reveals to Joshua what the problem is, why Israel lost the battle at Ai. And in chapter 7, verse 13, God commands Joshua to sanctify or cleanse the people, to get sin out of the camp, to get the problem solved. And Joshua knew they could not go on until they dealt with this matter of sin, this trespass. And look at verse 18. I'm going to read verse 18. It says, and he brought his house. Here, of course, the sin was committed by Achan. And verse 18, he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils, this was in Jericho, chapter 6, a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Achan's sin is revealed, and he acknowledges his sin before Joshua and before the Lord. And in the following verses, we see Achan and his family had to be destroyed. They were stoned, and a holy God, his justice and his wrath, was satisfied. So what does Ai teach us about sin? You know, this is something we can all identify with, sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We're all on the same page. We're all sinners before God. But some important lessons that we can learn, and I'm going to highlight three truths, and then at the end really just connect, I trust, this subject matter of sin to our day-to-day life as Christians and some important truths that we need to know. But first of all, we see that Ai teaches us that sin is powerful. Sin is powerful. Look at chapter 6 and verse, the last verse of chapter 6. The victory at Jericho and the conclusion here of this chapter, it says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." You know, all the enemies heard about it. They knew what God had done. They knew the victory and that they were going to come and destroy them too. They knew that. And you see the end of this chapter in victory and triumph. But look at the first word of chapter 7. But. A great contrast here. Something has gone wrong. Something has happened that now we are going to learn about. It says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass." You know, it's the most important time to be on guard is after great victory. You know, we can have those moments of success and victory over a matter of sin in our life. And you know what? That's when the devil is going to try to get in and destroy. He's going to get in when we kind of put our guard down and take it easy. That's when the devil likes to get in. You see, the sin of one man had a powerful effect on all the people. One man's sin. Sin is a very powerful thing. Several references in this chapter to this matter of sin. In verse 1, it's called a trespass. Israel committed a trespass. In verse 15, it says at the end, "And because he hath wrought folly," or the idea there is wickedness in Israel. Sin is the breaking of God's law. God had clearly commanded Israel and the people what they were supposed to do there at Jericho. How they were to destroy it, how they weren't supposed to take any of the spoils. And God told them not to. And if they did, they would be accursed. And we see this sin here was direct disobedience, a breaking of God's law. And that's what sin is. It tells us that in 1 John 3:4, that sin is the transgression of the law. If you're a hunter, and we just got through deer season, hunting season, but around here you'll see people, if they have property, they'll put up no trespassing or no hunting on their property, because, you know, people will just wander onto properties and think they can hunt there and stuff. But we all know what that sign, when it says no trespassing, there's a line that's been drawn that can't be crossed. And that's the case here with sin, is God makes it clear there's a line that we can't cross. And when we cross that line, when we transgress, when we trespass, we are sinning. We are breaking God's law. Recently I saw, and you've probably seen this too, but you know, spiders, many spiders around, and they build their web to catch their prey. And when an insect or a bug flies into that spider quickly goes and begins to start wrapping that prey with its string, or whatever I'm not sure what the scientific name is for that, but that string.
And I've watched that recently. I saw that happening. And at first that, I think it was a fly, started to kind of move away. But the more that spider, the more wraps that spider put around that prey, the slower it moved and the less it could chance it had of getting away. And that's really what the picture here of sin and how it binds and ensnares and chains us. It's a powerful thing. You know, sin, and we need to understand this, is stronger than you and I. Sin is very strong. It's very powerful. You know, the devil likes to deceive us. He likes us to think, oh, we can handle a little bit of it. It's a little bit's going to be okay. And you know, we've all been here when the devil is tempting us and we think, you know what, I can handle this. We can control it. But the reality is we can't. It's way more powerful than us. You know, we are born sinners. That's who we are. That we're made of flesh. Sin appeals to us. It can control us so easily. It's stronger than us. And the only way we can overcome sin is with the blood and power of Jesus Christ. Without Him, we are a slave to sin. So we need to recognize the power of sin. And we see that here in Achan's life. We need to continually remember that sin is stronger than me, stronger than you. There must be vigilance and awareness of sin, lest we be overtaken with it. You know, throughout the Bible, there's many spiritual leaders and great giants, spiritual giants. And we see, you know, they weren't stronger than sin. I think of King David, a very familiar one. In Proverbs 7:26, and speaking of the strange woman, it says, many strong men have been slain by her. There's power in sin. And we need to recognize its power. That power of sin has power to destroy our life. You know, you look at Achan's life, things did not end well for Achan. Sin brings destruction. The Bible, of course, says the wages of sin is death. The end result of undealt with sin is always death. You see this in our society today, but the Bible is true when it says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, sin is very destructive. It's very hard and takes a toil on a person's life. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read any, but I would encourage you to read in the book by J.C. Ryle, Thoughts for Young Men. He has a challenge to young men in the matter of sin. And he just makes some incredible remarks to challenge and help us to understand the gravity and the danger of sin. And we need to understand that. And in light of this truth of how powerful sin is, I can't help but look at our society and our country and where we're at right now. You know, it's a very easy solution to the what the problem is. People wonder, you know, why is it things going the way they are? It's very easy. The destructive power of sin. That's where we're at today. Sin is, the destructiveness of sin is revealing itself. If we were to boil everything down, you know, the root of our problems in our society and country is a sin problem. You know, we love sin. There is sin everywhere in our society. And there's such a little consciousness of morality and of God. And sin is just rampant. And we are reaping the results of that. So the power of sin. Sin is powerful. But we also see the battle of Ai also teaches us that sin has harmful consequences. And I trust this will put a fear within us tonight of sin. Maybe an area in our life that we're struggling, we're battling. And we need to really just see in full color tonight what sin is and the effect of it. Sin has harmful consequences. It brought great personal negative consequences to Achan. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. I'm sure Achan enjoyed looking at those spoils for a little bit of time, but soon that pleasure ended and he had to suffer the consequence. Achan thought taking the spoils from Jericho was somehow going to benefit him. It just appeals to us. And that's what the devil does. He colors it. He appeals to our flesh and our sin nature. And we think we need it. But in the end, you know, we're going to have to suffer the consequences. There are great consequences. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Sin has great personal consequences. It affects our mind. It hardens our heart. It makes us calloused to the things of God and of that which is right. But not only a personal consequence, but a corporate consequences that we see. You know, Achan's sin did not just affect himself. It affected his family. It affected the nation of Israel. Many men died because of his sin. And, you know, we don't often connect our sin to other people, but it does have an effect. There are negative consequences that others around us are affected by because of our sin. Look at verse 1 here. Again, we've read it, but the end of verse 1, it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. It doesn't say against Achan. It says the children of Israel. In verse 11, it says, Israel hath sinned. Not just Achan, Israel has sinned. God viewed it as a body. They was all of them were affected by it. In verse 12 and 13, the need was to, or God couldn't bless and prosper Israel. They couldn't win against their enemies because of the sin of one man. It was had an effect on the whole body. You see, sin brought defeat to the whole nation of Israel. And it took away the blessing of God in Israel. Wow, what a tragedy. You know, sin never brings forth anything good in our lives. It never does. Our sin negatively affects us and others around us. We must see sin for what it really is. The hurt, the shame that it brings, the damage that is done. And I just thinking in the context of our church body, you know, one member's sin affects the whole body. We can apply that from this example of Achan's life. It will have an effect on your whole body. And, you know, think of an infection or a wound on our physical body. You know, the rest of our body in some way has to suffer because of that. You know, our whole body might be in pain, or that infection affects the whole body. And that's kind of like what sin does. So a third truth here that Ai teaches us about sin is that sin must be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with. You know, God can't just overlook sin. He is a holy God. Sin must be judged. He cannot overlook it. And in many ways, Ai gives us insight, or I should say Achan's sin gives us insight how God views sin. You know, our view of sin in our life, our sin, we need to view it how God views it. We really need to get that sense and that view of our sin. You know, God hates sin. He disdains it. He cannot tolerate it. In verse 1, as I read, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. This was no small matter. No, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And when it says that, I mean, that's something pretty serious. He couldn't bless them. The sin had to be punished, had to be dealt with. We see God's holiness. And in light of God's view of sin, what a foolish thing for us to take our sin lightly. You know, when we just kind of brush it to the side and think it's not really a big deal. No, in the sight of God, it's a significant thing. His anger is kindled against sin. Achan's sin had to be dealt with. And we see that at the end of Joshua chapter 7. Look at verse 25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Achan's sin had to be dealt with. Much more could be said on this topic, but my last point here, I really want us to just connect this truth of sin to the life of a believer, the believer and sin, because this is where we are today. You know, we are sinners. We have times where we fail God. We break his commands. You know, how do we deal with those matters? How do we deal with sin in our life? First of all, I want us to see that sin breaks our fellowship or communion with God. You know, as a Christian, if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, that standing as a child of God can never be lost. Praise God for that. You know, we can never lose our salvation if we're a child of God. But our fellowship can be broken. Sin puts a barrier between God and us, in our fellowship and communion with Him. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you." Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We can't have the proper communion and fellowship with God if we are harboring sin in our life. The whole context of 1 John 1 reveals our fellowship with God is affected by sin. We need to take this matter very seriously as Christians, not to let sin come into our life, and to recognize the fellowship and communion with God is broken when sin is in our life. But the good news is, as a believer, that we can have this fellowship with God restored. And it's a familiar verse, but look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. There's a powerful truth in this verse, in this matter of sin and our fellowship with God. And how to have that fellowship with God restored. Sin's going to come in, but we need to know how to deal with it. We need to know how to get right with God, so that fellowship and communion and the life that God wants us to live can continue. And we need to know this verse because it's important to our relationship with God and maintaining that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is for us as Christians. This isn't about getting saved. No, it's how to walk and maintain our walk with God. If we confess our sin, when sin comes in, confessing that, acknowledging it before God, seeing it as He sees it, He is faithful. He's not going to let us down. And just. He is the right one that can rightly forgive us. You know, if you sin or steal from Walmart, you can't come to me and I can't forgive you for doing that. You have to go to the right person. Well, God is just and right to forgive us of our sins. He is the one who can rightfully forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restore that fellowship with God. We're not going to look there, but Psalm 51 details David's confession and being right, made right with God, that sin being dealt with and his fellowship being restored with God. We also see that a Christian, though, can have victory over sin. That's a truth we see in the Bible. You know, we don't have to live defeated. And maybe that's someone here tonight. Sin just weighs on you, and it's just, you feel like you can never get victory over. Friend, God does want you to walk in victory. He wants you to live a successful life. He wants you to have fellowship with Him. He does not intend for sin to drag us down and for us to always be under that weight of in bondage of sin. No, we can live in victory over sin. Of course, that doesn't mean we're perfect and we'll never sin, but He intends for us by the power of God and the Holy Spirit living in us and us yielding to Him to avoid sin, to have victory over those temptations. And just one final thought here in regards to us as Christians. And let's look at Romans chapter 4, and we'll end with this passage here. But I find it a great comfort, you know, the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. You know, sin cannot somehow be put on our account again. For the Christian, sin cannot be imputed to our account. Our eternal standing before God can never be changed. We have been declared righteous. Sin can no longer be put on our account or imputed to us. We stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He paid for that sin, and no sin can ever change our standing before God. Romans 4 verse 7 says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not put sin on his account. No, before God, we are forgiven. Our sin has been paid for, and we can praise the Lord for that. So tonight, as a Christian, you know, we're going to deal with sin. We're going to sin. We're going to fail God. But we need to know how to get right. We need to know how to have that sin dealt with so our fellowship with God can be restored. Tonight, please recognize that how you live, your actions have an effect on your life and the others around us. We see that from Achan's example. Remember that sin is much stronger than us. You know, we need to put precautions in our life. We need to know what our weaknesses are so that we can protect ourselves from sin, because we know how weak we are and how strong sin is. An important lesson for young people tonight to get, and for all of us to be reminded of, is that sin, you know what, if we let it go, will ruin our life. It will destroy us. But praise God, as Christians, we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to stay down. We can get up and have that fellowship and relationship with God restored. So I trust that these three simple truths, reminders of sin and the importance of having a right relationship with God, will just be an encouragement and challenge for us to live right and to walk with God and not let sin ruin and destroy our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use these truths, and thank you for this example. It's a sad one, but thank you for allowing us to learn from it in Achan's life. And Lord, I pray that you would deliver each of us from sin, protect us. Lord, as a body, would you, may we be on guard and not allow it to get into our lives and to destroy and ruin our lives. I pray for young people tonight that they would grasp the significance and the great danger and shame that sin brings into life. And Lord, would you just use these truths in our lives tonight. And maybe there's a Christian here tonight that is struggling and is defeated. God, may they be encouraged by these truths, and recognize that as in Christ, we can have forgiveness. We can be restored in our fellowship and our communion with God. And for that person here tonight, Lord, would you lift them up? May they get that matter dealt with and move on in victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.